Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to the Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only pro wrestling news source you guys need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Also available everywhere podcasts are available, including iTunes, where thanks to Goldberg's return, we got jacked up to number 42.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
In the iTunes Sports and Rec category. So that was kind of neat. People wanted to know all about Goldberg coming back, and we gave him a lot of people were saying... A lot of people were laughing over my idea that he jackhammer his kid. I wasn't actually saying he should jackhammer his kid.
No, you weren't suggesting
that. I
hope that.
Everybody understood the absurdist nature of that line of humor right there.
Yeah.
It was like, because I was up kind of thinking about it. I was like, man, I hope that doesn't get back to Goldberg somehow. That people are saying, hey, Goldberg, it'd be hilarious if you jackhammer your kid, says Steve here. I'm like, no, that's not actually what I said.
You know, if he did hear that, you know it. Be the case.
I'd be, well, no.
You'd be next.
I wouldn't be because Lesnar is going to be next and last. He's already declared that. So there's not going to be anybody after
Lesnar.
Well,
I don't believe if he were to confront you with that, it would be a sanctioned pro wrestling match.
Oh, right. Or probably a street fight of some sort. That's fine. Oh, good. It's all in good fun. I don't really want him to jackhammer his kid unless his kids are willing to take a bump. You know, it furthers the story.
We should probably carry on.
I just dig myself in a bigger hole right now. Probably,
let's
carry
on.
We got too much news to be talking about.
Yeah, we got, what, 5 pages of notes here?
Goofing around like this. And then questions. We got all sorts of stuff.
Plus,
going
did
on.
You watch Total Bellas last
night? I did.
So we can actually do a Total Bellas recap.
Can
that be the
recap?
Lead story?
Oh, my goodness. Poor Daniel Bryan. What a nightmare that guy's living. And those Bellas, man, jeez.
Well, we'll get to that later.
What an awful family.
Well.
I'm joking. I don't know what they're like. Let's see here. Okay.
Do you want to talk about TNA?
No, but I suppose we should.
It's every week now.
Big
it's
news.
TNA and Paige.
TNA and Paige. They can't stay out of the news.
Nope.
They can't stay out of the news.
And it was quite a news week for TNA because it seemed like every day some new development was happening in
every
their ongoing
it's
legal
like,
and financial
it's
troubles.
It's like Trump with his sexual abuse accusers. There's a new creditor coming out every day. Ever since this lawsuit was filed by Billy Corgan, apparently that just opened the floodgates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of these lawsuits were filed
mm-hmm.
earlier in the year, but I guess they weren't really actively reported on or they weren't made public. So let's get through some of this. Earlier this week, as you said, right after Corgan's lawsuit against TNA, it was reported that the state of Tennessee has filed a lien against TNA.
That's horrible.
For unpaid back taxes.
One time, you know, my water bills are so small, they're like $30 a month.
Yeah.
And I forgot to pay them for so long that I had like about 150. It was like 5 months of not paying my water
bill.
Yeah,
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, and then I got a little notice said, 48 hours, we're going to cut your water off. So 24 hours later, I went in because I like to live life on the edge. And apparently, they were looking to cut TNA's water off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. At that point, I got into my bill pay and I just started dumping $30 their way every month.
That's what you got to do.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, it's the state of Tennessee, a lien against TNA for unpaid back taxes. Now, we don't know how much those were, or do we? Was it publicized?
I don't remember. I kind of did this timeline here quickly. Also, American Express filed a suit against TNA apparently in July for unpaid debts.
That was, I think, around $200,000 to $300,000. I think.
Yeah.
It was around a couple hundred thousand.
And apparently on September 27th, Audience of One Productions, which I guess helped out with some of TNA's production.
Okay.
Work in 2015, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Sued TNA for unpaid production services.
So basically, they helped them out with the production. TNA said, "We're not paying you for that."
Well, it was. It apparently, I was reading Meltzer's recap of it,
Wrestling Observer.
Yeah. Audience of One provided these services.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When they sent TNA an invoice, TNA was like, "We're getting some things in order.
Yeah.
Let's kind of hold off on this for a little bit." And they've managed to work out a payment plan. Apparently, according to the suit, TNA made one payment, and then that was it.
You know, it boggles my mind. It boggles my mind that the idea in this country of, I do work for you, you pay me my money now. Like, dude, when we go to Del Taco, we get our tacos. We get our number twos, right? We don't then say, okay, I can't really pay for it. We don't take the bag, eat the food, and then say, okay, I'll pay for this on a payment plan because I can't really do it. No, you do something and you pay for it.
If you provide a service of somebody,
yeah,
they should pay you. When you, it's that simple.
When you got married,
yeah,
at that lovely little place that you guys got married at,
yes,
you paid for that.
All of it.
I got married at the Crest Theater downtown Sacramento.
Yes, and you paid for that.
I paid for that.
Yeah.
It's astonishing that people can get away with this. Like, at a certain point, I don't know. Like, I mean, do they just need to start charging up front or something? Like, is that, I mean, obviously it doesn't happen. You got to sue these people.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Thursday, today, well, actually, sorry, late yesterday, news reported on PW Insider.
Mm-hmm.
Let me double check the source. Yes, PW Insider, that there was a delay in Billy Corgan's lawsuit.
Right.
So instead of a ruling being issued, I think they had they originally had like 5 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
They postponed it a week. And then, sorry, this morning, Anthem Sports and Entertainment, the parent company of the Fight Network,
yes,
which is one of the broadcasters of TNA,
mm-hmm,
issued a statement confirming that they loaned TNA money, I guess presumably to fund Bound for Glory,
right,
and the subsequent TV tapings, and also that they were willing to give TNA money so TNA could repay Billy Corgan,
right,
because they owe Billy Corgan money.
Well, that was the interesting thing, is that when Billy was giving an interview to that SiriusXM thing,
yeah,
he was saying that, you know, he funded a couple rounds of tapings.
Under the impression that he was buying a chunk of the company, correct?
Right, exactly, yeah. And so now there's sort of a switcheroo happening where they're saying, well, no, that was actually a loan. We're going to pay you back. Possibly, we can only speculate, to get Billy Corgan off their back and maybe pave the path for, I guess, the Fight Network to then purchase. Because I think Meltzer also said the Fight Network owns a portion of their library
as well.
Yeah, the tape
library, yeah.
Yeah. In the latest edition of Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Meltzer has a really, really well done,
yeah,
a very lengthy article. You guys can check out a Wrestling Observer. I think it's for subscribers only. But, I mean, honestly, like his, you know, so much of the info that comes out on the dirt sheets is from Wrestling Observer. It is really worth it.
Well, he gives their latest and ongoing,
mm-hmm,
round of financial troubles some context.
Right, exactly.
And traces it back,
yeah,
to...
Yeah, and it's basically, you know, the general gist of the article is, you know, when they were with Spike, they were making money hand over fist. They were doing better than New Japan over there. And Dixie Carter decided to hire Vince Russo on the sly, even though Hogan and Bischoff were there, and they obviously didn't like Russo. Hogan sued Russo for defamation back in the day in WCW. And she hired him, like, secretly,
yeah,
to run creative things.
Yeah.
And then it started leaking out. You know, he accidentally emailed one wrestling news guy and some notes for commentators. And then he ran with a story. He said, wow, I got this from Vince Russo. He's helping out, you know, at least on commentary.
Yeah.
He's providing notes. And Russo turns around saying, ha ha, I worked you. And that's what they have a history of doing with Meltzer and a slew of other reporters, is they'll let something slip, or these reporters will do some good journalism. And they'll say, ha ha, we tricked you. We let you get in on that. And really, it's not true, when every time it's been true. And so they have this, it's funny to watch Meltzer's Twitter feed, because all these people saying, why do you hate TNA? Why do you hate TNA? It's like, well, for one thing, I don't think he hates TNA. I think he's been, you know, disrespected by them, you know, publicly so many times when what he's saying is true. And they're,
yeah,
just being really shady about things.
Yeah.
In the latest edition, though, it says here, Meltzer reports that, quote, Corgan had believed he was going to buy control of the company and had financed the prior two sets of television tapings in exchange for points in the company. That fell through, leaving him furious. Much of what is in the suit is confidential, but sources have noted that while TNA said Corgan was in control of the last set of tapings, he actually was not, nor was he running the company as TNA said he was, and he wasn't happy about that. Sources also say that Corgan was greatly misled about the company's financial situation and that creative decisions he made for the last set of tapings were not implemented. So this guy's putting money in and they're saying, yeah, you can have creative control,
yeah,
because you're the guy backing this money.
Well, also they hired him to drive creative.
Right, exactly. And then that stuff was never implemented. Meltzer also reports, yeah, like Anthem owns a piece of TNA's tape library. Additionally, Meltzer says that bankruptcy appears to be in TNA's future, as anyone who buys the company will be on the hook for its debts, which just seem to be coming out of the woodwork,
yeah,
left and right.
Yeah.
He continues that those close to the situation say that Dixie Carter at this point
is looking at trying to publicly save face, although it's way too late for that. Her attempts to publicly save face and put a positive spin on things have just deepened the problems and increased the debt and legal problems for any prospective new owner. So whoever's buying this has a lot, just a massive amount of baggage to deal with.
Yeah.
So
considering what Corgan probably knows about the situation in, mm-hmm. in the company, mm-hmm. it's admirable that he still wants to buy it.
It's kind of surprising that he wouldn't just start from scratch, but I understand that starting from scratch, I mean, given what he said he wants to do is basically, you know, rebrand it.
Yes.
It's kind of surprising because, and you know, there's sort of the thought there, the thing that's been put out there about how the demand for pro wrestling on TV is surprisingly not that great these
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if him taking over would be okay. Well, we have sort of an infrastructure in place and that's why it'd be more advantageous
yeah.
versus starting from scratch. But TNA,
well, if you see, sorry, I mean,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
With Jeff Jarrett's promotion, Global Force Wrestling, they've been trying to get a TV deal for what, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Haven't been able to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think just starting from nothing or starting over with whatever Corgan would want to do, even if TNA did have to file bankruptcy and had to dissolve, it's such an uphill climb.
And we give Jeff Jarrett a lot of shit for his on-screen persona, but I think it's well known that behind the scenes he kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like he's a good business mind.
Yeah.
His dad Jerry Jarrett was very successful
yes.
As a promoter. And so I mean the bottom line is if Jeff Jarrett can't do it, you know, it starting from scratch.
I know.
It's probably really hard to do.
I know. And Corgan, wasn't he at one point one of the owners of a wrestling promotion in Chicago?
Yes, that sounds right. That does sound right. I think so.
It's interesting, this note here about Anthem owning a piece of TNA's tape library.
Right.
Because, what, it was 2 weeks ago that there were reports that it was a done deal that WWE was going to buy that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
There's so many moving parts here. It's hard to make out what is what. But it's funny because you think that by now, like we all thought, we figured by now we'd know the fate of TNA. We started talking about this stuff 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And here we are. It's still just an absolute mess. And
yeah.
It looks like Billy Corgan's involvement might be a thing of the past if they're basically paying him off or paying him back the money he put in to say, okay, time for you to go.
Yeah. And it's interesting if that is something that Dixie Carter is doing to try to retain control of the company. I don't know.
I don't even know what the flipping... Like, reason why does she still want to be involved in this stuff? Like, why it's just seems to be a money pit. It seems to be one headache after another. You know, it's like, does she enjoy being around the wrestling business? Does she enjoy being sort of a person in power in the wrestling business? You know, I mean, it just seems like from a business standpoint, this is just an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyways, or maybe she's just, like, from what I understand, her parents are, like, billionaires.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just, maybe to her it's just a toy that she's trying to fix.
That could be.
Yeah, no, it's like, if you don't give a shit.
That could be.
Anyways, I like this next story. I like this next headline. AJ Styles versus HBK confirmed?
Well, it's not confirmed. But,
no, not even close.
We were fortunate enough to be included on a conference call
yes!
for WWE yes! Supercard Season 3, which is coming November
yes!
this year,
absolutely.
2016.
Yeah.
They got some new modes in there.
Yeah.
Looks interesting.
Yeah.
Joining the call was WWE World Champion and
our friendo who two-sweeted you.
No evidence.
Bang! Off camera, we turned the camera off. You gave him a big, fat, juicy. There was juice on it. It was stanky. Too sweet to AJ Styles. Hey, leader of the Bullet Club.
No evidence.
Leader of the club. Now current W. I would think it's a point of pride. I say it with pride. I two-sweeted the current WWE World Champion. That's surreal to me. To you, you did it. You're not copping to it. Odd. Weird. Not very normal.
Can we continue now?
Yeah, I guess
okay.
so.
Okay.
Sure.
And he took some questions.
Yes.
He spoke a bit about wanting to have a match against Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And then he did comment on when asked mm-hmm. about Ryback's comments.
Yeah.
That he made on his podcast, I believe, about how
Vince said you squash that guy like a bug or
yeah.
a little squirt. What do they call him?
Twerp.
A twerp.
I believe.
Who talks like that?
But I, you know, the question or the statement he made that was potentially most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We're about a potential match against Shawn Michaels.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy.
See, I hadn't heard any rumors.
I heard word one about this.
So, I know, and so I looked into it.
Okay, what did you find?
On Monday and Tuesday, respectively, GiveMeSport.com and the 434 both published reports that the WWE may be trying to entice HBK out of retirement to have one more match at this year's, 2017's Royal Rumble in Shawn Michaels' hometown of San Antonio.
Think I'm cute.
To take on.
No, I'm sexy.
AJ Styles. And just today, WrestlingInc.com posted a story that AJ tweeted like a fan-made promotional image for the Royal Rumble that had him and Shawn Michaels facing off.
Yeah.
And AJ tweeted that out.
And that
and
fan,
he said, interesting.
The fan who made that's name is AJ Styles.
But this isn't even the, this isn't the first time that AJ has talked about wanting to wrestle Shawn Michaels. He was on the segment on ESPN with Jonathan Coachman.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And during the course of any interview, he said that, you know, he'd want to wrestle Shawn Michaels.
Who wouldn't want to wrestle Shawn Michaels? You know, it'd be amazing. Are you kidding me?
I know. It'd be great. Gee, I'd want to wrestle Shawn Michaels, and I am not a wrestler.
Yeah, I'd love to wrestle Shawn Michaels. It'd be great.
So, I mean, I guess this brings up two issues or two things that we can talk about.
Yeah.
One, how excited are we for this potential match?
All the exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
And number two, let's name off some other opponents for HBK when he comes back. Now that we've got a new lay of the land here.
Well, I think it's just WWE, a one-time deal.
Who else in his third time back from retirement?
Seth Rollins.
Here's my dark horse candidate.
Baron Corbin?
No. JJ Bella.
We haven't gotten the total Bella's review
yet. Oh, that's right. I forgot. We haven't got there yet. We can talk about the laundry list of opponents. We want JJ Bella.
Yeah.
Is that his last name?
No, that's not his last name.
That's what I call him.
It's
poor JJ.
I can't remember what his last name is.
Sad situation.
But anyways,
JJ Bella. That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But like in considering especially that
Dan Matha versus HBK.
That Lesnar Goldberg 2, their rematch, is happening at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Is WWE relying too much on part-timers to sell these major pay-per-views?
Man, that's been going back a long time.
No, I know, but it seems like every time they have, you know, one of their major four shows, they have to bring back at least one, if not a multitude, of past stars in order to sell the product.
Well, here's the main problem, dude, is that, like, if their ratings were so healthy, that they wouldn't have to do that. But they always seem to be, there's this odd complacency. Like, dude, we know they can bring it when they really are motivated to, but it's just they get complacent so often, seemingly. You've got 3 hours on Raw Monday night, and how many backstage segments? I mean, we talk about this a lot, you know? It's like SmackDown has done a much better job pacing their show out.
Yes.
It makes me wonder. It really does make me wonder. We haven't heard anything like super recent about how they're viewing the brand split now. We did a couple of top 10 lists in terms of who was helped and who was hurt by it. But I am curious to know what their outlook is now. And like, okay, how is the brand split helping us or hurting the company as a whole?
Yeah, well, I mean,
because that was a pretty big thing.
Yeah, and I guess if the rumors are true for the stipulation for the Survivor Series matches, I guess that can be some insight into how they view the results of the brand split and whether the shows are on equal footing or not.
Right, right. So I don't know. I mean, I'm totally fine with... I am much more fine with like the Goldberg thing than I would be... And I really love the Sting thing.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I really, really love about part-timers coming back because you get nostalgia matches like the DX versus NWO thing. That was a lot of fun. Lesnar versus Goldberg, I'm going to watch that. You know, it's like I didn't watch most of the Randy Orton one because that was my protest vote against Brock Lesnar coming in. But I think that I'm really intrigued about this Goldberg thing. In terms of, I mean, shit, HBK is like one of the, like, arguably the best in-ring performer of all time.
It's
like
and AJ is.
Basically him and Flair. And AJ's is the closest thing to what we have
now.
Well,
and he's the current best
in-ring performer. So, well, I mean, but everything that we know about HBK says this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know.
I guess in terms of part-timers coming back, mm-hmm. I like situations like AJ versus Shawn Michaels mm-hmm. because it's a part-timer coming in. You would think to put a current performer over.
Right.
And so the end result is a current wrestler getting the rub and getting a push from that.
Mm-hmm.
That situation I like. I don't have a problem with Goldberg and Lesnar having a rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, the match probably won't be very good.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see it.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, both those guys bust their ass and put on a good match.
It's worth it for those big moments that they go for on Raw, you know, to boost the ratings when Goldberg comes back. It's like, oh, okay, cool. This is a really interesting moment right now.
But I mean, if you might go back to the 3-year Rock Cena storyline.
It
was too much.
And the thing about, exactly, it was too much. It took away too much from the product. And when you can do it in a vacuum that's not affecting the rest of the roster, then that's great. But it's like my main problem with Rock Cena, that first one I thought was great when it was once in a lifetime. Yeah. Because I was actively like rooting against The Rock because I was like, you know what? I like Cena's point about he's here no matter what and The Rock isn't. I really like that. And I was disappointed that more, but it's Rock and everybody's going to side with The Rock. And the fact that he had subsequently said that they were looking to turn Cena heel at that point, which was, I thought, amazing. He said they had merch there. They had like ring gear made up and everything.
Yeah.
So that, but you know, then it started bleeding over into, okay, well, we need the current WWE champion who is CM Punk, who is having an amazing run with the title. We need that title back. So you're going to job twice quickly to The Rock.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it was plain as day. You've got Cena, Rock, part one, once in a lifetime. And then they do this rematch crap. Okay, well, that throws the once-in-a-lifetime out the window. Make that a triple threat because then you maintain that once-in-a-lifetime, and then you've got CM Punk in the mix.
Yeah, or even don't involve the world title.
Right.
It wasn't necessary.
Exactly, yeah. But I like throwing CM Punk in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's like, on top of that, one of the most iconic WrestleMania posters to me was 14 when it was Austin, Michaels, and Tyson. And it's like, you know, that entire lead up was basically Austin, Tyson, and then HBK, who, you know, was obviously injured, but we didn't know that. And HBK was kind of thrown in there. But to the general public, you saw Austin, you saw Tyson. And there was that almost the weird sort of idea that these guys are going to be fighting.
Yeah.
Because those are the two bigger names. And HBK almost felt like a third wheel, you know. And I think CM Punk could have filled that thing where, like, the wrestling marks would be like, no, CM Punk is the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was, I think, a huge missed opportunity that could have made any trepidation I, as a fan, had about The Rock coming in again to do this again. You know, that could have been eased a bit because it would have been a triple threat.
Yeah.
So, and, like, my guy would have been in there. Instead, that year we got Punk versus, was it Taker?
Yeah.
Taker or Jericho?
Jericho was the year before.
Was the year before.
Because that's when Punk still had the belt.
And he had the belt. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I don't know. And you'd be satiating Punk's desire to be in the main event for WrestleMania. Because, I mean, that just speaks to how little faith Triple H and McMahon had in CM Punk. And evidently, maybe, you know, from what we've heard, CM Punk's trepidation at doing shit like Good Morning America and the other stuff that you sort of need to do. I mean, you'd never see CM Punk on Total Bellas. You know what I mean? Like, that would never happen. But
no.
That's why we love Daniel Bryan. So yeah, that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. Can HBK be coaxed out of retirement for an AJ Styles match? We know he's in amazing shape. And last year he even said, Vince said, wear your ring gear down to the ring for that segment.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked like he was in great shape.
He looked like he was in freaking fighting shape, dude.
But I'm sure HBK wouldn't do it if he didn't think he could still bring it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he can.
Yeah. And but also I do think there's that part of HBK who really...
I mean, his last match was so good.
Oh, I know. It was amazing.
Not impossible, but really tough
to
top that match against The Undertaker.
And I think he really appreciates that. You know, I think he gets that totally.
Yeah. But I guess if there's anyone you can get in the ring with that could potentially top that match,
it makes everybody better.
Yep.
It makes everybody better. Yeah.
So we'll see.
So, Larson, this is the point.
Well, let me ask you this. Go ahead. If that match is announced, do we go to the Royal Rumble?
Where would it be? 2017?
Yeah, San Antonio.
Oh, that's... God damn, that's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you say 2017, I think it's next year.
Well, it is next year. But that's only 3 months away.
You understand what I'm talking
about. Yeah, it seems like it should be much further than three months away.
We have to go. We have to go.
All right.
We'll start looking under the couch for some spare change.
Okay.
Are there any friendos in San Antonio that can put us up on a couch?
Yeah.
We'll cuddle on a couch.
Well.
head to toe on a couch.
Yeah, cuddling's fine. That's okay. That's fine.
I get to be holding you.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
That's gross. Okay, Paige getting married. We got to talk about Paige again?
Yeah. Was it Sunday?
This is the time where we reluctantly talk about Paige. Two guys who talk so much about wrestling in their real lives are now forced to bring this Paige news.
Maybe we could just not talk about it.
I wish she'd stop. I wish for 1 week she'd just do nothing. For 1 week, can she just do nothing? Although she's also apparently got surgery.
Yeah, she got surgery. She got her surgery Wednesday.
And the Bellas on Twitter said, he's the best doctor, I think.
Uribe.
Uribe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's Uribe. The guy that did Nikki's neck.
Right. So do you think, did the WWE pay for that?
I don't know.
Probably cost a lot of money.
Yeah, neck surgeries aren't cheap.
4 hours ago, Paige said, Tampa Airport, I just had neck surgery. I can't raise my hands up over my head for screening. Don't cuss me out. I will still kick your ass. She said,
she's getting on the plane the day after surgery?
21 hours ago, she said. Also, surgery went well. The hernia was bigger than expected and my neck was straightened. Now this girl has 3 screws in her neck. Pictures soon. Let's see here. The Bellas said, thinking and praying for you, girly. So happy you went to him. He's a miracle worker. Paige said, we've talked about you a lot. He's great. Sending hugs and kisses your way. Thanks for the text.
Apparently, Natalia visited her in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, let's talk about Sunday. Where Paige
Poppy
proposed.
Yeah.
To Alberto Del Rio.
She said, I love you, Papa.
During a WWE show in Puerto Rico.
WWE show?
WWC.
Okay.
Did I say WWE?
I heard it, but that's me. I'm old.
Okay, WWC.
Okay.
Puerto
Rico.
And they seemed very happy.
Was Invader 1 there? No. Very scary. Sorry. But yeah, this is great. Alberto might still be married.
Yeah, I know.
The lawyer for his ex-wife.
No, not ex-wife. Wife.
Poppy might already be married.
No, is.
Is. Well, according to that, the lawyer,
is
well,
married.
I guess the divorce is not yet final.
Yeah, is.
You can get engaged, though. You can get engaged. That's not, there's nothing legal about engagement.
I guess there's no legal.
There's no paperwork.
There's no legal contract.
Did you fill out paperwork when you proposed? Yeah, I didn't.
No. So I guess that's fine. Yeah, you're correct. But anyways.
So it's okay. You're good.
Pro Wrestling Sheet. Yeah. An exclusive report about this where Del Rio's wife said their divorce is not yet final. I think the lawyer said it wasn't even close to being finalized.
Yeah.
So it might be a very long engagement.
Paige's dad also spoke about the couple taking to Facebook to say, putting this out there, then saying no more about it to anyone. I am totally against my daughter marrying that man. What?
You didn't see that?
No, I did not see that. He was defending Paige against the WWE and her surgery and all that kind of stuff. I am totally against my daughter marrying that man. Ooh, boy. Poppy and Poppy. All right, words. Man. Nobody likes this union. They're trying to keep Romeo and Juliet apart.
But I was
the Beavises and the Rodriguez. I think his last name is Rodriguez.
Yeah,
is it?
I was when I was putting notes together for the show. You know, I did a search, Paige Del Rio engage, and the first or second one that popped up was a story from E! Online. Of course, E! Mm-hmm. is the network that broadcasts Total Divas,
mm-hmm.
and so they had a pretty decent little write up about how we would see Paige and Alberto's courtship.
Right.
Over the course of the season. And then also on Pro Wrestling Sheet, they went into more detail about it. Apparently the first half of the season, there's a lot about them dating.
Wow.
And it's interesting that they would use that for the show and make it a point to publicize it while backstage trying to squash their relationship. Doesn't that seem weird?
Is that a kid?
I mean, I know, you know, Total Divas... Although I think Kevin Dunn is one of the executive producers of Total Divas, so I'm sure he has some sway in terms of what makes air. I know Bunna Murray, their producers, I'm sure handle the bulk
of. I mean, what you're saying is absolutely true. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it because the WWE obviously wouldn't want that getting out. that they were trying to break them up because there's got to be all sorts of legal issues there. I mean, if Paige wants to wiggle out of her contract, that might be something that she can say, hey, I'm going to sue you guys for, you know, I don't know what the hell, for harassment. I'm basically sexual harassment. That is very strange to see. Well, to see how they're going to frame it, though, because that's got to be the big, because you're right. Like, if between it's either Kevin Dunn or somebody else, there's got to be some sort of liaison between the company and between both companies saying this is on limits for the WWE, but this is strictly off.
Well, you know, we know how tight WWE tends to be with control of their IPs.
Right.
And their characters.
Yeah.
And granted, they break kayfabe on that show.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't think they would want something to make air that they didn't approve, you know, they didn't give their approval of.
Something that could put them in legal hot water.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they're basically waging kind of a silent war or a cold war with Paige in terms of like, no, we're keeping you around.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, you know, well, she's gotten two very quick drug suspensions, one on top of the other. If she gets a third. But I mean, you know, that's not going to, I would imagine if you get a third wellness policy violation and you get fired, you get released from the company, they're still going to hold you to that contract where it's the no compete clause. I would imagine throughout the remainder of her contract and then a couple 90 days.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a lawyer type guy, but you would think that would be, you know, it's like, okay, here, I want out of my contract.
I know.
Oh, God. Go test me right now,
please.
Like
you do that in front of Vince McMahon.
Exactly. I've got so much cocaine in my system. Just test me now. That's good enough for three wellness violations. Now, can I go wrestle for Ring of Honor, please?
Yeah.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah. Don't think so.
Anyways. So, yeah. Paige, you know, all the best to them. But, man, when the WWE and Paige's dad, who have had a war of words, when they're both on the same page against her marrying Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron, maybe there's something about that guy. I don't know. You know that, what was that dude's name? Ricardo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's part of the same promotion that he's the ring announcer for the promotion that El Patron was made, president of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kind of cool. Huh?
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's kind of cool. All right.
Do you want to talk about NXT?
Yeah, man. Jam-packed episode of NXT.
Fun show.
Yeah, it was a really fun show.
To kick off the show,
yeah,
we saw a match from the Dusty Classic.
Yeah, Rich Swann and Noé José versus Tony Nese and King Richard Gulak. Wasn't
Drew.
It? Drew Gulak.
Drew
Gulak.
Why do you have a hard time remembering his first name?
I don't know. I always think of him as King Arthur. I want to say Arthur Gulak. Yeah, anyways, Rich Swann and Noé José went over.
Yep.
Noé José got the pin on Gulak, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah, it was a good match, fun match. I love Rich Swann. I love Noé José. I love that they've combined their theme music. They mashed it up. Mashed up of the summer.
They didn't really mash it up, though.
Well, he says, can you... What is he? He doesn't say, can you dig this? He says, can you handle this? Can you handle this? Which, isn't that his catchphrase?
Well, that's the
kind of is now, isn't it?
Yeah, those are the lyrics to his theme,
right? And then Noé José,
they sing it themselves. It's not a. It's not,
oh, they didn't. They didn't no, get CFO to
when
do
they,
the thing.
No, when they came out, it was Rich Swann came out first to his theme, and then Noé José came out to his theme.
I have
theme.
Bad news for Noé José. Rich Swann is a much better dancer than Noé José is. Rich Swann is a good dancer. Noé José might not be. And I love how behind the group Corey Graves is. Corey Graves again was just on top of his game. He's so good. He said, Tom, I thought I retired from dancing, but now I can't help myself.
Oh, he's so good.
It's great. This is one of my favorite segments, Ty Dillinger in the trainer's room.
Yeah.
Just because, number one, I'm all in on Ty Dillinger now.
Finally.
He's great. I know.
He is great.
Took me a while. But I love the trainer coming in. He's like, okay, he's inspecting his arm. He comes back with just a bag of ice.
Oh, an ice pack. I know.
And just dumps it on him.
And Ty just goes, I don't need that. I'm fine.
Ty does a little thing. He says, I don't need this.
I know. It's great.
It's like, that's the, and it just, in my head, I'm thinking of the WWE statement about Paige. We provide world-class medical service. Some idiot with a giant ice bag. Doesn't even look like a med. It's not like the cool gel one with like cool blue gel that does all sorts of crazy chemical shit. And it like heals you up spiritually or something.
Well, that's not what ice.
It's just a bag of ice.
Even those cool packs don't do that, man. They just make you cold.
I know, but my point is, you would think it'd be something you a bit more sophisticated.
You think because there's a blue gel you put in the freezer that has some otherworldly properties to it. Like, it does, you put in the freezer, it doesn't freeze. It should freeze, but it doesn't.
You would think that something more than just a bat, like, this guy's inspecting him, and he's like, okay, after 8 hours of research, I think this needs a bag of ice. Let me go down to the gas station. And Tyson says, I don't need this shit, man. I was cracking up. Austin Aries delivered another great promo where he talks about the benefits of potassium.
Yeah.
I loved it. Anyways, he talked about...
He's so good.
Talked about Hideo Itami getting injured. He says, oh, he's got a sore neck. They did an MRI. They found out he didn't have a spine. Spineless. That was great. And then he talked about, yeah, he's got a good, I got a good partner tonight.
He said only the greatest and the strongest.
Yes. So he
persevere.
Telegraphed the shit out of Roderick Strong.
Very much so.
We saw Bobby Roode again, another great entrance. I mean, he looks like he's quantum leaping at this point when all the lights are hitting that robe.
I know. That robe looked very heavy.
It did, but it's so beautiful.
I know.
It
was all that so sequins beautiful. And then yeah. The cape on back
and
now.
The color scheme was like black and like silver kind
of.
Yeah,
I know. I it know. It's glorious.
The Glorious One took on Sean Maluda. Maybe we've seen him before.
Yeah, he was in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. He lost in the first round to Kota Ibushi.
Isn't he tall? That's just, I guess I'm reading into that because he looks tall as shit.
Oh, maybe.
I guess I'm wrong about that. I'm just saying it'd be crazy if he was like, you know, what are they? is he made of lighter material than most humans? He's that tall and he's in the Cruiserweight Classic? That's weird. Anyways, Liv Morgan gave a promo. It was beat down by Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
And they gave a promo. They beat her down it backstage.
The
and then,
angriest Australian accent I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, from Peyton Royce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our place now. That's so not Australian.
No.
That was all over the place. I couldn't even do it, but I was like, God, she looks so cartoonishly weird.
Can we talk about the Haas team?
You know how much we love the Haases.
Otis Dozovich.
These might be
my new favorite wrestler.
These guys are like a new genre of wrestler, the Monster Haas.
Yeah.
Monster Haas.
And they
Haases.
Were great together.
Yeah, they were.
There's a lot of really fun spots they did together.
It was fantastic. I want big things out of Dozovic and Knight.
Yeah. Is it Dozovic or Dozovich?
Probably Vich. Because like Vladi Divac.
Oh.
Or is it Dozovic? Dozovic.
I heard both.
Did you?
I think.
Well, there you go. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Anyways.
We'd have to hear him say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're great.
Otis is a great name. And they took on Austin Aries and Roderick Strong, who went over in the Dusty Classic.
Yeah, and Roderick Strong made his debut. We kind of brushed over that a little bit.
I don't know. I know, like, slightly more about Adam Cole than I do Roderick Strong. These sort of, like, mid-sized, almost generic-looking white wrestlers. Look, I'm sure he's done amazing work, and I know I'm a freaking mark, and I don't know about indie wrestling, and I'll do some research on him, and maybe I'll come back and be like, this guy's great.
He is a former Ring of Honor champion.
I know, and there's nothing. I'm trying to get on board this Adam Cole train, baby.
Okay.
I'm trying to get on board this train. But, dude, I was watching the last pay-per-view that New Japan did, right? And he comes out, and when he comes out, it's to his theme song. But he's flanked by a couple other Bullet Club guys, including a dude, Tokyo Pimp, Takahashi, I don't know. Anyways, he's in front, and he's got two women with him. And you see Cole's head sort of bopping up and down. I'll show it to you later. He's like, hey, I'm here too. The most underwhelming addition to the Bullet Club. Maybe he's great. Maybe he's absolutely fantastic. I need to learn more about him. That's on me. Every once in a while, I'll type it in Google, Adam Cole promo. He's a good stick guy.
Yeah.
He's a good stick guy. But he's just there's something underwhelming about him in general. And I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Maybe it's me.
Okay.
It's just me.
Going back to Roderick Strong, it was impressive that he did the lumbar check to Otis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. Impressive stuff. I'm sure he's great. I'm sure he's a wonderful Ring of Honor champion. And I'm looking forward to the big, big things he's got in store for NXT.
Yeah.
Baby!
That was followed up by a fantastic Andrade Cien Almas interview.
Oh my God, I loved it. It was fake. Because I love when international superstars like just they just stick to the language they know the best because they can emote the best in that language.
Yep.
And he did a fantastic job and I loved it.
Yeah, he was great.
Let's see here. Nikki Cross versus Danielle. Oh, this was great. Sanity second week in a row coming out, and just a very unique crew.
Yes,
the Sanity people are. Nikki Cross from Sanity took on Danielle Camella, and Nikki Cross got DQ'd because she was too vicious.
Well, she won, and then after the match
they reversed it
because she was too vicious.
She was too vicious.
She was so vicious that she elbowed Eric Young in the face because Eric Young was trying to keep her from beating
up. Last time we've seen something like that. That's great. That's yeah. It's so perfect.
Yeah,
they're like characters out of Borderlands.
Yeah,
that's what's great about them. She looks like a million bucks. They all look great. Such a well defined group of
people. After only 2 weeks of being on TV, we know exactly
what they are, man. We got Shinsuke in the ring cutting a promo on Samoa Joe. And then he was interrupted by Patrick Clark, who to me stole the show. I'm sorry. I freaking love Patrick Clark, dude. He is great.
He is great.
What did he say? I'm your something dream. What was it? The term he used? It's not serpentine. I'm your
velveteen.
Velveteen. Thank you. Velveteen. I'm your velveteen dream. That dude's got weight in his voice and I love it.
Yeah.
He's good. I love the fact that 6 months ago he was a pro Trump guy. That was his gimmick. You have to love that. You have to love a guy who's like, I'm going to do the most fucked up thing. I'm going to go out there and be a pro Trump guy. Oh, I love it. And just troll the shit out of people. It's great. Anyways, wait, did Samoa Joe come down?
Yeah.
I missed the very end.
Shinsuke,
yeah. Kinshasa the shit out of Patrick Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a match, was it?
No.
They were trying to keep,
Well,
I remember a bunch of refs.
Well, what happened is Patrick Clark got in the ring. Shinsuke kicked him a couple times. Then the rest came in the ring, and that's when Samoa Joe tried to come down and sneak attack.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Shinsuke noticed him.
Yeah.
And then the refs were helping Patrick Clark up.
Yeah.
Shinsuke turned around, Kinshasa.
Yeah.
And Joe made a move again, like he's going to come down to the ring, and then stopped, and they had to stare off to end the show.
Yeah, that's good.
So
all very good stuff. We got to start doing these NXT recaps as our own videos. There's a lot going on these days in NXT.
I know.
There's a period.
I mean,
when
they
set
during this episode.
On.
They set up a match: Ty Dillinger against Bobby Roode.
Takeover, yeah.
At Takeover Toronto, that'll be good. Very good.
Yeah. And you know what I loved about it too? Because I forgot to talk about that at the end of the Bobby Roode match. Ty Dillinger came out and attacked him, and the people were so behind Ty Dillinger. And this addressed sort of the issue that I thought they were going to have coming in that Bobby Roode is so over. But that fan base, especially Full Sail, treats him like the heel that he really needs to be. Especially, and it turns out, much to my pleasant surprise, that putting him against Ty Dillinger was the right move because people are so behind Ty Dillinger. And that's such a good idea to do. I was worried that Ty would be drowned out by how much love people have for Bobby Roode.
People love Ty Dillinger.
People love Ty Dillinger. There's two things I can't stand about him. That, I mean, this I get.
It's
fine.
Great.
It's great. It's great. Okay. I'm not huge into his theme music.
Oh, you don't like that?
Not really. You know what they need to do? They need to find a way when they... For example, you know when Seth Rollins hit that Money in the Bank on Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, how there are certain times when they'll hit his music after that first pause.
Yeah.
They'll just start... They'll ignore the intro.
Yeah, the double
bass
drum.
Into it. Right.
Yeah.
With Ty, there's that lady saying, 10...
Yeah.
To start off the music, which when you're making an impactful, when you just attacked a guy and you want like your music to kick in, they need to start it later on.
Hear me and pose this to you.
Okay.
Say it's a situation where Ty is going to do a run-in.
Okay.
And the music hits. He's here, 10.
Yeah.
And everybody turns looking for Ty Dillinger. And he just waits
until
the countdown happens.
Yeah.
And then surprise attacks someone. Right when the music hits.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be kind of cool.
So,
a countdown happens.
Yeah.
And it builds the anticipation.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I hate in NXT, for whatever reason, I think they have like a part-time guy working the Videotron thing.
Yeah.
Like putting together the video packages because they always use the most basic fonts for these people. Like Patrick Clark comes up and it's like an Arial in all caps. That's all it is. It's like, dude, choose a different font. Just choose something else. You have some lead time on this. Like, you guys sign somebody. Oh, he's got this Prince sort of gimmick thing going. Okay, I'll do something that's got some interesting effects to it.
Yeah.
They put something together for James Ellsworth on SmackDown. Yeah. It looked really cool, it actually. Yeah. It had like two fists.
Well,
cool.
Roderick Strong's package was
pretty...
I didn't
notice his.
It was pretty lame.
Was it good?
Oh, oh. No, it was lame.
Okay, there you go. You know, you signed Roderick Strong. You know he's going to come up, do something.
I know.
You know, even if it's a placeholder.
Especially since he, you know, he's a major name.
He's a name. Bobby Roode, I think, already had his shit.
Yeah.
I think.
No, when he was doing the shows in before he made his TV debut, I think they already had the Roode.
Yeah.
Package.
Yeah, that's
ready.
A glorious one.
So, I don't know if he didn't have the theme song, I don't think.
The theme song didn't drop
until
the
he came
day.
Out the first time for that promo, right?
Right. Yeah.
But I think even when he was doing the live shows, they had the package. Maybe they're playing the theme song.
I'm not
then.
Sure
I don't
what
know.
The theme song would have been. You would think we would have heard about the theme song because everybody was talking about it like when they released
yeah.
it on WWE.com.
Yeah, I don't
com.
Know.
Talk about Total Bellas.
Yeah, let's talk about Total Bellas a little bit.
What a depressing episode of Total Bellas. It's like the Bellas household, although it's obvious they all have... So this episode was very heavy on Daniel Bryan adjusting to life in retirement
yes.
and how hard it is. And they visited the NXT facility.
That segment was great.
Yeah, it was
him
really...
And
Sami Zayn showed up. I was like, oh...
But it was great where Daniel Bryan was...
talking about a strategy for Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah, how he's like, I got these moves. It's kind of like an animal. I was yeah. thinking about this for Brock. And it's like, oh my God. And it just bums... As much as it depresses him... To know that he's done for now, it depresses us because it's like, man, we never got to see him versus Brock.
And it's also a bummer just to see that he had all these ideas.
I know.
Nikki was pushing Daniel to become an instructor at NXT. And we know that he has done some teaching because he mm-hmm. was part of one of the instructors at the New Japan
mm-hmm.
dojo in L.A.,
right.
I believe. And right. I think he was also one of the trainers in Ring of Honor when he was still there,
no,
too.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, yeah.
But I guess apparently in his book, he doesn't consider himself a good teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said that on the episode, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he seemed hesitant to want to teach.
Yeah.
But just seeing that segment with him and Sammy, it's obvious that he yeah. can instill a lot of knowledge and wisdom onto people learning the craft.
And but he even admitted, you know, he's in a period of grieving right
yes.
now, you know. And on top of that, like, it's funny because to hear him say, and he said it flat out sometimes, he says, you know, because I ask him, you know, about the GM role, and he says... I'm under contract with them. They say for me to do something, and I go do it. You know,
he's very good at it.
And well, you know, to his credit, he gives it his all.
Yeah.
You know, he's not phoning it in.
Nope. Especially on Talking Smack, he's fantastic.
Oh,
he's
great. He's fantastic. And, you know, by on the same virtue, they're probably like, well, we need you to go do Total Bellas. And I know he gets probably an extra paycheck for that. But, you know, are you game to do this? Well, I'm under contract with you, so I can do whatever you want me to do. But that has to be an absolute bummer
yeah.
because he does have a love for that one thing, and that's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that he can't do that, even though, and he said this too, before too, he feels fine, and he knows that he's been cleared by any number of doctors, and he could go to New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And he's probably chomping at the bit to do that.
Yeah.
I know he's got a family, and he's got like a kid on the way and everything.
Yeah.
But what are the odds that he goes to New Japan once his WWE contract's out?
Depends how old he'll be. I don't know how much time he has left on his contract.
Let's say he's got 2 years left.
So he'd be...
Because I think that's what it is.
He's in his early 30s right now,
I want
right?
to say he runs out in 2018.
So let's say in his mid-30s. I'd give it about 35% chance.
Yeah, I'd probably go as high as 50. I'd say like it's probably like he's probably... If he consults with enough doctors and he asks the WWE, look, are you firm on this? Okay. Well then, I'm going to go to New Japan.
Like, I don't anticipate him ever having another full time schedule of
oh,
matches.
Oh no!
But for you know, no. Russell, a couple times a year, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, because it's what he loves to do. And
yeah.
if that many doctors are clearing him, saying, "Hey, you'll be okay."
Well, that was the one test that he brought up during his retirement speech,
mm-hmm.
where that guy was saying, "No, it's not that good."
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, yeah, it was an episode that was, I was kind of surprised because I watched most of the first one, and my favorite thing about this one was that poor bastard JJ. The level of awkward when he goes and asks John Cena to put in a good word for him. What would a John Cena word do? Like, I think obviously that's just a setup. It makes one, I know you've said, and I've read too, that Total Divas is completely scripted.
Well, I think the scenarios are scripted, yeah.
Right. I wonder how much of this is...
I would imagine
not.
The JJ Cena bit
yeah.
Probably.
Scripted. Yeah, probably. Because, you know, the whole story is him being tired of his mom using him as a lackey.
Yeah.
And him visiting, going with them to see NXT, and then him thinking that he wants to do it. It's got to be clear as day that probably never crossed his mind. It was just good for the show.
Yeah.
Because it furthered his story as someplace else to go. And so, yeah, it led up to this great conversation with him and John Cena. He said, I'm wondering if you could, you know, as the face of the company, could you put in a good word for me? And then what did Cena say? What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
And he says, well, you know, because I went there and it was really, it looked like something I really want to do. And he said, I wonder if you can help me out with that. And he says, I don't understand.
I know. And then, like, at the end, Cena says, all I can do is walk you to the door, introduce you a few people. From there, you're on your own.
Yeah.
But before that, he said something pretty much like...
He said, I can only get you as far as you've already gone.
Yeah, I get you to the door.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He says, but his point was, you've been there before. Go talk to some people.
Yeah, pretty much.
And JJ was like, okay, I've already done that. Maybe I'll go do it again. So, I don't know. It was supremely awkward, but John is, he's so great. And it makes me wonder how much is real and how much is like, it's a put on. Because he's so robotic and rigid and so how you figure he might be.
Yeah.
But then, dude, you see him in these comedic roles and he's marvelous.
Well, there's time, like, he has a very good deadpan sense of humor.
Oh,
in the second episode, he's teaching Brie how to drive stick.
Yeah.
And, you know, she you know, is not catching on at all.
Yeah.
And you hear the gears grinding and the engine and stuff, and he says something like,
that's not good mechanically.
That's probably not good mechanically for the car. Just deadpan.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's so funny.
I know. It's so good. So whoever's working with him on that, like whoever's working on his little bits, they have to be coming up with that. You know what I mean? Has to be.
I just wish there was more of it. He's hardly on the show.
I know. But to me, that kind of adds to it. Like, I know when we went into it, it was like, oh, Daniel Bryan, John Cena.
We were expecting
a
Daniel
house.
Bryan, John Cena sitcom, essentially.
I know.
That's exactly what we wanted.
But whenever he's there, it adds this like weird weight to the situation. You know, it's like everybody kind of almost dances around John Cena.
Yeah,
it was fucking great,
especially that first episode.
Yeah, it's like he's just this weird robot guy.
But I guess, you know, to do all that he does, mm-hmm. you'd have to be very scheduled.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For
very
sure.
Very rigid
yeah.
how you schedule your time.
John Laurinaitis is hilarious too because he always has these great punchlines.
Yeah.
Well, family brunch is a good time.
I know.
So Nikki's like, it bums me out that we're golfing near a lake because then we can't get the balls back. Well, we can get you some snorkel gear. You can go down there and get them back. With a weird voice of his.
Oh, so good.
I love it.
It's you haven't seen the second episode yet, right?
No, I got to check. Laurinaitis,
you know, after formal dinner Wednesday nights, the men go to the cigar lounge essentially for drinks. And, while there, all of them are there, he brings up that he was considering or looking into getting a prenup.
No. Oh, yeah.
With JJ in the room.
Yeah.
So it's really awkward.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cena's like, you know, what is the analogy Cena used? He said something along the lines, it's like having a handgun in the house, a prenup.
Yeah.
It's like you have it for protection. You hope you never have to use it.
That's fantastic. That's great. Yeah, JJ is my new favorite, dude. He's so hapless. Like, I just feel, because it's like, man, that's like, I totally get where he's coming from. Because he's like the brother of the Bellas, and and all these alpha males are around him. Like, Daniel Bryan's like one of the biggest names ever, and he was forced to retire because he's too tough.
I know.
Essentially.
I know.
He's too tough. John Cena, the biggest name in the industry, maybe even ever at this point.
Yeah.
And he's just alpha dog.
Yeah.
Like, the most alpha person you could ever be around. And then there's JJ, who works for his mom's stupid company that's boring.
Yeah.
And she's telling him to go get him coffee.
Yeah. And pick up her dry cleaning and
it's
stuff.
It's like, it's so close to just people shitting on him. But they don't, because they'll love each other. And you can see that. But it's so close to just him being a complete, like, oh, man, it's horrible. That poor fucking bastard. Poor JJ. I want to be a wrestler. You're 30 years. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
no. it's like number one. Why isn't JJ asking Johnny Ace?
I know.
The
head of talent relations,
the originator of the Ace Crusher, the
also,
stunner.
That
of the
was
RKO.
His job, executive VP of talent relations.
Johnny, I don't think it's a good idea.
Oh, that's so good.
You're 30 years old. You want to go out for 3 years and train just to maybe have a chance to make it there.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't think it's a good idea.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, let's answer some questions.
Cheese man. When will Goldberg be in the Hall of Fame?
I like your tweet. We'll answer your question on the next show.
Well, they're trying to be stern about
it. I know, but I always like add an extra smiley face, and I know you hate smiley faces to my tweets. Patrick Cheeseman wants to answer the question on the show. I'll answer it on the next one.
Well, that wasn't.
I know it wasn't your intention. When will SmackDown Goldberg be in the Hall of Fame?
Not this year.
Really? You don't think this year?
Next year.
Yeah, next
2018.
Year. Expand the Goldberg. Yeah, get him back next year. Yeah. Nicholas Viola.
What culture is doing a series through the month of awful spooky moments? Sorry, awful spooky wrestling moments. So what is your favorite supernatural storyline?
Anything involving Kevin Sullivan. right before the NWO hit big, it was the Dungeon of Doom and Hulk Hogan mixing it up, and it was just these really cheesy sets that they had with dry ice machines. And little weird fat Kevin's not fat but
stocky
stocky thank you he's like to me Kevin Sullivan's like the George Costanza of the WCW.
Yeah.
By the way, I liked the order you gave, because I totally forgot about Jay Peterman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What was it again? Yours? Because ours were similar.
Yeah, mine was George Frank.
Okay.
Elaine.
Mine was George, Elaine, Frank.
Yeah. I think I put Putty four.
I think I put Jerry, then Putty, then Kramer.
And I put Jerry. Oh, who am I forgetting? Maybe it's Jerry, Newman, Kramer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I put Newman in there, too.
And then Jay Peterman.
And Jay Peterman. Jay Peterman might be over Newman for me. Jay Peterman's so good. They're all good.
Did you ever see, maybe they only did in Vegas. John O'Hurley had the lead role in Spam-A-Lot in Vegas.
Oh,
it was really good.
That's great.
It was great.
That's awesome. Robert Serafaslanian.
Yeah. I just realized I never gave an answer for...
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite supernatural storyline?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but the one they're doing now with Bray and Randy Orton's been pretty good.
It's been a good one, yeah.
Hasn't gotten really, really corny yet.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It's always like teetering on the
edge. Yeah, yeah.
When Randy Orton looks in a mirror and it starts doing a Snapchat filter, it starts to get weird.
Do you think if the whole Paige drama didn't happen, she could have been a strong champ in that Four Horsewomen era? Because it seems like the title on Raw will be jumping between Sasha, Charlotte, Bayley for at least a year, which is a bummer, since I think it might get really predictable. What do you think? By the way, where are those Total Bellas recaps?
We did one. We did it today.
Well, I
if suspect... If she had never gotten injured and she kept her eye on the prize, I think she would be mixing it up right now. Maybe she would have been one of the top draft picks for SmackDown. And she could have helped build that.
Yeah.
Maybe. I do get the feeling that there's been a lot of wasted potential after starting off so strong. There's been a lot of wasted potential with her. And I wonder if it's backstage sort of. I mean, she's young, but she's been at the top of. She's one of those people who's young, but has been sort of a top dog.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout her very, I mean, she's already been doing it for probably,
at least
8 years,
six, 8 years,
probably
I would
since
think.
She was 16. If she's 24 now. I think she would have been there to sort of mix it up a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, before she got hurt, she was in a program with Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
She probably would have been in that, not the top of the card, but just, like upper mid card.
Right, right.
I could see if she were healthy, her mixing it up with Bayley.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. It's funny, dude. I mean, because we praise Alberto, quite a bit, because I do think he's a top talent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about how little anything would have changed had he never been brought back, wouldn't have been a damn difference. He held that U.S. title. Anybody else could have done what he did with it. And none of this Paige drama would have been happening. I don't know. Just interesting to think about sometimes. What could have been?
Yep. Ronan Cahill. If you could book a 6-month program between two wrestlers, past or present, who would? Oh, past versus present. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Who would you choose? His would be Wyatt versus Jake the Snake. That would be good.
That's a good one. I like that one. I like AJ Styles versus HBK.
Macho Man versus AJ Styles.
Bobby Roode versus Rick Roode.
Ooh.
That's a good one, though. That is That's good. A really good
that
one.
That is good.
Because there are parallels there beyond the name. Universal Jones. Been wanting to know if you had any dream New Japan versus WWE matches with their current roster. I would love to see Okada versus Seth Rollins, The Elite versus New Day, most of all Brock Lesnar versus Shibata, because it could be an awesome slugfest that might excite Lesnar into trying. Honestly, there's a big fellow over there. I think he was the Intercontinental Champion over there in New Japan, Michael Elgin.
Yeah.
Him versus Lesnar would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Him versus Rusev.
Yeah.
Probably be better.
Yeah.
I would like
that. Did you watch his ladder match with Kenny Omega?
No, I did not.
It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah.
I mean, all these are top
great.
Yeah, I love all these. The Elite versus New Day, I think, is what we all want to see, really.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all good.
Yeah.
Kobe Rosenthal. Hey, friendos. Goldberg's return got me thinking. His fireworks were awesome. Who had the best fireworks entrance ever?
It's hard.
Goldberg's was good.
It's hard not to say Goldberg. The guy stood in fireworks. I mean, they weren't literally fireworks, but, you know.
No, that's...
He literally stood. And when the smoke would come
he'd inhale the smoke.
Yeah.
Exhale it. Yeah.
What other...
Dudley's, because it always scared the shit out of you.
Man, I almost shit myself when we were at SummerSlam and that shit went off. I mean, pretty much any pay-per-view that happens, I shit myself. Who else had really good fireworks?
It's not fireworks, but the pyro for The Undertaker at WrestleMania is always really good.
You know what was really cool? When Gangrel, Edge, and Christian used to come from the floor in a circle of fire.
Yeah, that was cool.
Rad.
That was cool.
I love that one. Gangrel with that dope face of his.
He'd always have his goblet.
Yeah, he was laughing, spitting up blood.
Yes. Yeah.
The Western States Heritage Champion, Matthew E. Williams, Esquire.
Hey, friendos, my question is simple. Did SmackDown just decide to have everyone work tweener or heel, and do you think it is working? Dean uses heel tactics approved of by Daniel Bryan on AJ. Randy uses Bray's tactics and gets help from Kane. The only normal face seems to be Heath Slater and Rhino, well, and James Ellsworth. Dolph Ziggler's pretty much a face.
Yeah, he's pretty much a face.
Hype Bros,
definitely faces.
American Alpha,
definitely faces. Uso strong heels.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a good mix.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say Orton even is in his program with Bray is necessarily even a tweener. I mean, he's not overly cheating, you know. Is he using Bray's tactics? He's trying to compete with him on the same level. He's trying to make the playing field more level, perhaps.
Yeah, but I don't think, nothing Randy is doing is necessarily heel tactics, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're right. He's right about Dean being kind of a tweener, you know.
Yeah, but that's probably more his strong suit than being.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Lawson McCool.
Hey, friendos. First timer Lawson McCool here, son of Michelle McCool and Undertaker.
I really don't think that's true.
Holder of the Taker belt. Would you ever consider a WWE 2K17 collab with friendos? With your friends from Funhouse or any sort of collab with them in the future? Keep up the great work. Thoroughly enjoy all your content. Yeah, we like to do something with them.
I would love to do something with them. Honestly, like finding time these days.
That's the difficult
part. I imagine they are very busy.
Yeah.
But kind of more importantly, we're very busy.
Yeah.
we've been talking about assigning a winner to the art contest, but I got to go back. Everybody who did the art contest.
How about this?
What?
Oh, never mind. That won't work.
Cause I'm down. Like there's three contenders, I think, for the top spot.
Okay.
That I'm considering. But I need everybody who did a Power Lunch artwork. If you could DM.
What if they, email?
Email steveandlarson@gmail.com. We'll put it in the description. If you could email us the artwork that you did so we can make sure that everybody gets their postcard for submitting, because Twitter's not letting me go back past like October 9th or something, and it was like that week before that we were getting all of them.
Yeah.
So, and stupid me, I didn't like, you know, do the thing. I didn't screen cap them all. So if you guys can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be great.
And if anybody else out there wants to join the art contest, you can still do that, I guess.
Sure, we'll extend the deadline.
Email steveandlarson at gmail.com and do a picture of Power Lunch, who's our WWE 2K17 creative character.
Yes.
Our very first one for 2K17.
Mm-hmm.
We have videos on our channel. You can watch it there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, it's it for the dirt sheet today?
I believe so.
All right. Once again, another good week working. And thank you. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.